Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Star Fam? Thanks for tuning in. You're receiving a live transmission from Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights to hear the colors and see the music. And I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, April 6, 2012. And thanks for tuning in, Star Fam. We have an amazing show tonight. Live on the scene tonight, we have Sir Ivan coming on. We're going to be doing a world premiere of his new song just in a minute. But also joining us on the show tonight, we have two amazing guests. One of them being your very own Stephen Mailer, crystal skull researcher, Egyptologist, and Rosicrucian researcher and scientist, talking about the WSAC going on, the 2012 from May 4th to the 6th in 2012. Check out WSAC.us. It's an awesome event that Stephen's going to talk to us about, and as well go into some crystal skull. On the second half of the show, we have none other than Dr. Nick Begich from EarthPulse.com. Nick Begich is an independent researcher in science and politics, a lecturer and author. He's also a political activist and will be speaking on the HARP program on the second half of the show. We're also going to go into some Occupy Wall Street protest updates, some earth changes, and some economic and financial world updates. And I'll give you a couple health and wellness tips as well. And with that, we have two cool events I just want to mention real quick. One of them being the Memorial Day weekend shamanic breathwork Wise Wolf Council happening at Venus Rising Association for Transformation. That's at Isis Cove here in North Carolina. You can check out shamanicbreathwork.org. It's going to be a four-day event. It's going to be awesome. I will be there myself. Check it out. It's going to be some amazing. We'll be doing some shamanic breathwork and some other fun ceremonies and stuff like that. The second event I want to throw out there is the Galactic Gathering at Grandfather Mountain. This is put on by yourself, yours truly, and a friend of mine, Zen, who is a Burning Man camp director for the Burning Man festival that goes on once a year. He's been doing Burning Man for about 11 years now. He'll be also helping me with this project. And we have some amazing stuff lined up for that. That is on April 27th through the 29th. It's a three-day event. So you can check my Facebook page out for more information, or you can email Zen at purelovezen mothership@gmail.com. So those two events, check them out. And also we'll jump into some 5D Galactic news, and that's talking about the resignations from world banks and world leaders around the world. And we'll get into a little bit of that just in a minute. And don't forget, Starseed Energy Radio is brought to you in part by the Domain Eco Village. The Domain is an exclusive community for people with environmental consciousness and self-sustaining spirit. Getting self-sustained is where it's at. That's what we're talking about, 2012. Self-sustainability is really a way to really show the system, to really sustain yourself, that it's the way to live. It's the only way to live. Your power, your water, your food, it could all be done independently, off the grid, no more bills, support your family, stabilize it, self-sustain yourself and your family. It's an amazing way to live, self-sustainability. Check out the domainecovillage.com. And as always, you can check out StarseedEnergyRadio.com for the latest news and updates. You could also follow me on my Twitter feed. And now I have Starseed Energy Radio on iTunes, available for free download and podcast. Also, StarFam, leave some comments on there. It helps with the ratings and everything on Apple. And if you could click like on my Facebook page, things like that, it really helps out. And of course, check out the YouTube channel. And also, a great new update, check out the Android app on StarseedEnergyRadio.com. We got the new Android app up, and also the iTunes app should be coming soon. It's available for $1.99 on Amazon.com, so check that out. And just stay connected. There's lots of news happening, lots of big things going on, so stay connected. And as always, just want to give a shout-out to all the StarFam out there, the Galactic Federation of Light, all the listeners out there, all the supporters, the Metatronic Councils of Light, and all dimensional beings. This is for you. Thank you for staying behind the scenes and really supporting us energetically, for the ones that are here in 3D doing all the groundwork, the lead work. We are the ground crew. So shout out to all you guys, all the listeners out there. And without any further ado, we're going to jump into the interview with Sir Ivan, a.k.a. Peaceman. And just to give you a little background on Sir Ivan, he's been a recording artist now for over 10 years. Sir Ivan's latest single, an electro-pop version of Hare Krishna, which is what we started the show off with, is, according to the April 16th issue of Billboard magazine, a bona fide top 10 hit song at number 10 on the Billboard's Dance Club Songs chart. The success in the U.S. also followed the almost equally impressive response in the U.K., where it reached number 15 on the New Music Week chart and number 14 on both the DMC World House and DMC World UK club charts. Hare Krishna is the latest in a string of Sir Ivan pop dance remakes of iconic songs from the 1960s and early 1970s. That started back in 2001 when he released the first pop dance version of the John Lennon classic, Imagine. We're going to play that also later in the show, so stay around for that, which went to be an international top 40 hit on the Billboard's club play chart that year. The song Hare Krishna was released that summer in Ibiza, Spain, one of my favorite places. I was just out in Ibiza a couple years ago. I talk about Ibiza all the time. A big shout out to the people in Ibiza, and the energy out there is amazing. The DJs in Ibiza discovered that Sir Ivan had rewritten the lyrics, translated into English, to focus on spreading universal love rather than praying to one particular god. And that's what's up. Sir Ivan does spread his enlightenment through his music and a remix of Hare Krishna with over 1 million views on YouTube. Check it out. I posted it up on the website. It's an amazing, amazing music video. Sir Ivan is also donating all the recording artist royalties from the full-length album sales to the Peaceman Foundation, which is a charity he created to battle hate crime and post-traumatic stress. That is what's up. It's amazing. You can check out SirIvanMusic.com. And with that intro, Sir Ivan, thank you so much for joining us on the show. How are you? Thank you for taking the time for joining us.
A pleasure.
Excellent. So first, let's jump into how you first got started in your music. I know you served on a board of a big prestigious bank, and you must have had some sort of awakening, and you started creating this beautiful, enlightening music. Tell us how that happened.
Well, I had been singing my entire life since childhood, but sort of deferred singing professionally until my late father passed away, because the main interest and the main reason I wound up doing songs about peace and created the persona Peaceman was because my late father was an Auschwitz survivor, and 59 of my relatives were murdered during the Holocaust simply because they were Jewish. So all through life I developed a certain fortitude for the underdog, and had a great appreciation for the various degrees of evolution of the planet that was sparked during the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, and things that are extremely important and relevant in today's world. Since then we were fighting in Vietnam, now we're fighting a war against terrorism all over the world, so that I felt it important that the lyrics of songs be understood by a new generation, and to see how powerful lyrics can be in having helped end that Vietnam War, and to somehow think that maybe lyrics, again, it's a time that they sunk in and maybe made people a little more aware and alive and want to do more to help and save and create.
That's what's up. And you have sort of like an alter ego, which you call Peace Man. How did that come about?
Well, when I made the transition, having worked 20 years in the commercial bank with my family, and starting a music career very late in life, to say the least, it was very important for me for the world to know that I was switching from the banker in the pinstripe suit and carrying the briefcase to an artist that was going to be able to express himself creatively all the time, not just when he got off from work. So it was a combination of wanting to let the world know that I was no longer a banker, but that I was going to be singing about peace. That it would, wearing the cape, draw attention to the peace sign that's on the cape, and the meaning of it, and the fact that it was a universal symbol for people coming together in the 60s, early 70s for anti-nuclear proliferation and civil rights, gay rights, children's rights, human rights, environmental rights. They all were sparked and fought for bravely in the late 60s, early 70s, so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. So it just became, once I wore that peace cape, it identified not just the music, but what I'm doing in my life and why. And also makes people, gives me an opportunity to talk to them about the Peace Man Foundation that I established to battle hate crime and to treat those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. So it was multi-purpose. Kept me on an artistic road, and able to focus, to draw attention to the charity, and to make people aware that I was doing something very, very important other than just putting on a show.
Absolutely, and that cape definitely draws attention. I've got your press case here. You're on the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, Ocean Drive, Billboard Magazine. The list goes on. The Miami Herald, and all wearing the peace sign cape. It definitely makes a stance and draws attention, and that's so important now. And talking about the time of 2012, the transformation of what's going on with the planet, why do you think your music is so important now more than ever?
Well, you never know what day, unfortunately, you're going to pick up a newspaper or turn on the news and read about an explosion that killed innocent men, women, and children anywhere in the world because literally insane and obsessed, fanatical people are out to destroy based on fictitious illusions and just a bizarre way of thinking that's very detrimental to the planet. So whether it's Iraq, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's in Israel, whether it's in the U.S., in Africa, it doesn't matter. There's a level of fear and destruction and evil that persists that has to be fought constantly, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in order to try and get those that practice that sort of behavior to rethink it, to say the least. And hopefully things gradually change and those radical segments of society come to the conclusion that it's just evil and ugly and life should be beautiful and aspirational.
Absolutely. There's plenty of abundance and resources for everybody on the planet to live in peace and happiness. And Sir Ivan, before we go, what is a message or something you could say to listeners for 2012? You know, how can we be part of this healing of the planet? A message to the listeners out there.
Simply to do anything, whether it's to your neighbor or to a relative or a member of your family or someone in another country. It could just be anything from a simple gesture of helping someone, doing someone a favor, even lending them money. And the tiniest gesture can change that person's life so much, and that person's life can in fact change another person's life, and it can spread. Love should be the universal thing that guides us and motivates us. And because it's not just it's selfless. It's something that spreads and has a lot of power, a lot of healing power, and that's what it seems like we need.
Absolutely. Well, Sir Ivan, thank you for taking the time. And I know you've been all over the world. You've been hosted the Prince of India. I've seen pictures with you with pretty much everyone on the map. It doesn't matter if it's political, whether it be the Bushes or the mayor of New York, or whoever it is, you're definitely making a difference. So I thank you for doing all your work. And we're going to be debuting the world premiere of your La La Land new song, the Mini Mafia Radio Mix, in just a minute. And you can check out more of your music and support the Peaceman Foundation at your website, which is SirIvanMusic.com. And with that, Sir Ivan, thank you so much for coming on the show. We hope to have you back soon.
Fantastic. Thank you. We even shortened it up. It's now SirIvan.com, so you can get to it from many different ways.
Excellent. All right, great. Well, you enjoy your night, Sir Ivan, and we will definitely have you back on the show soon. Thank you so much.
Real pleasure. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And with that, we're going to jump into some 5D galactic updates. And when we've been talking about this the last about 2 months now, we've been talking about the resignations of the world bankers and also the political leaders all around the world that have basically been resigning all over the world. And we started off with about 60, I think, about a month and a half ago. And now I'm happy to report we are at 450 resignations from around the world. 450. Things are really cooking. And the headline on this one, I posted up on my website and also my Twitter feed. But the headline reads, over 200 senior bankers arrested last week as new financial system goes online. And the article goes, I'll read a little bit of it. The new financial system is online now, and abundant financing is either already or soon to be made available, according to Dragon Family representatives. The final takedown of the criminal cabal has also begun in earnest, with over 200 senior bankers arrested and 450 resigned last week and the months alone. These sources say Japan is also now doing the final paperwork needed to set up an international economic planning agency with an initial funding facility of $10 trillion, or about 200 times what the World Bank lends every year, according to Japanese government sources. Amazing stuff, Star Fan. The 99% is winning. Hang in there. Times are rough. A lot of things are going on. But these are the articles that you need to share and spread with everyone, because it's hard times right now. Everyone's struggling out there. All the light workers out there, the star seeds, everyone is stretched and pulled thin. But hang in there. It's good news. Things are changing. And with that, with no further ado, we are going to do the world premiere of La La Land by Sir Ivan. This track is the Mini Mafia Radio Mix. And with that, enjoy La La Land by Sir Ivan. We'll be right back.
I know a place where you want to be, where money grows on trees and everything is free. I know a place, if you've got the time, where the sun always shines, water's like wine. Don't you see, follow me, it's peace on earth, live either me. Don't you see, follow me, it's peace on earth, believe in me. I just wanna go to la 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 land, la 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 land. I place where you wanna be. Where there's no violence, come with me, you'll see. It's a place with no tanks or bombs, where competition's got no need for soccer moms. Don't you see? Follow me. It's peace on earth. Believe in me. Don't you see? Follow me. It's peace on earth. Believe in me. I just want to go to La 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 Land. La 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 Land. I just want to go to La 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 Land. La 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 Land. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. Yeah. I want to go. I just wanna go to La 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 Land. La 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 Land. I just wanna go to La 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 Land. La 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 Land. I just wanna go to La 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 Land. La 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 Land. I just wanna go.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to listen to Starseed Energy Radio. And that was the world premiere of La La Land by Sir Ivan. Thank you again for coming on the show and spreading light, love, and enlightenment all throughout the world. And real quickly, just want to give a shout out and give you a quick update on the Occupy Wall Street movement. I had tonight Edward Twitchell Hall III, one of the main organizers for Occupy Wall Street, who started it months back in September 17th when Adbusters and Anonymous were having a barbecue, said they're having a barbecue on Wall Street. And next thing you know, Occupy Wall Street exploded into over 80 countries, 1,500 cities. He was supposed to be on the show tonight, but his cell phone was taken and broken by the police, so he was unable to get on the show. Just want to give a shout out to Ted, Edward Twitchell Hall III. He's been on the show. We'll have him hopefully back next week and give us an update on that. He is on the scene downtown Manhattan. Another article, finally, Occupy Wall Street cops, police arrest the people in suits. We had a couple Occupy people dress up in suits and protest at the UN building. It's a pretty good article I'll put up. Also, in Madrid last week, there's an estimated 170,000 people demonstrated in protest all over the streets in the main town over the government's austerity measures. A total of 800,000 people in the entire country of Spain marched. That was also another article. So this stuff is still happening. You can check out OccupyTheNation.com and support it. You know, don't ignore it. A famous quote I love to always say on the show, I'll say it again, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So support the Occupy movement. Do what you can. It's still going on. Springtime is here. You're going to see these things, these protests reemerge, and it has to happen because this current system is not a good one, and it's got to come down to reboot another one. And real quick, I'm just going to go into a health and wellness update, and we've been doing health and wellness updates all year. And this one is really cool. This one is titled The Immune Boosting Power of Garlic. And this article is really amazing. I'll just really read it briefly. I did post it up on Starseed Energy Radio on my Twitter feed. But garlic is a pungent herb and one of nature's best antibiotics. Due to the powerful sulfur-containing nutrients and immune stimulators within garlic, it is classified as a superfood herb. Consumption of garlic daily may be one of the best defenses against infection and inflammatory-based disease. I know personally, my father always told me this, as soon as you start feeling a sick throat or sore throat, gargle with some garlic, and it's gone the next morning. I do it all the time if I am feeling sick. Garlic has been used by many cultures throughout the history of mankind as a medical tool. The Sumerians and other groups around the Mediterranean region had a great reverence for the ability to fight infection. An Egyptian writing dating back to 1500 BC discusses the use of garlic for over 22 common health challenges. These same Egyptians fed a heavy garlic diet to their slaves to increase their strength as they built the Great Pyramids. And I'm sure that Stephen Mailer, who's joining us on the show, can also chime in with that. But check it out. Garlic is an amazing, powerful herb. And with that, Stephen Mailer, who will be joining us on the show, the station's calling him right now, give you a little background on him. Stephen Mailer is a crystal skull researcher, an Egyptologist, and a Rosicrucian research scientist. Stephen has been involved in crystal skull research since 1979, the year I was born, and as an archaeologist and prehistorian, specialized in the area of ancient culture artifacts. Also, Stephen is involved with the WESAC 2012 event that's going on, which he's going to talk about from May 4th to the 6th in 2012. You can check out WESAC.us. That's WESAC.us. I also posted it on my Twitter feed. Just to give you a brief description of that, the WESAC is the celebration of the Buddha full moon as per the Alice Bailey Theosophical Literature. Our festival in Mount Shasta features well-known speakers in science, alternative health, and new spirituality. And that's an amazing conference that's going on. And there's a lot of this going on this year. It's 2012. I'll be planning myself a December 21st event here in North Carolina, a three or four day eco festival out here. And, got to get involved with this stuff now. This is a big year of transformation. The crystal skulls, all this stuff is really coming to mainstream, and it's very important. And with that, without any further ado, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me on tonight.
Excellent. Absolutely. So we just gave a brief description of the WESAC event that's going on, but go ahead and give us a breakdown of what that's all about and what's involved in that.
Well, sure. They've been doing that festival up in Mount Shasta for many years. I think this is the 18th annual festival. But this one seems to be really special. There's a tremendous lineup of people. I mean, it's going to start Friday night, May 4th, go to Sunday night, May 6th. And there's so many speakers that are listed, I don't know how they're going to get everybody in, but it's going to be an amazing event. It seems like everything has been building up to this year, like everyone has predicted. It's not exactly, of course, like the sensationalist mainstream media has made it to be. But I've been involved in the crystal skull research since 1979, and that has gone on in waves. There was a big wave of interest in the 80s. There was interest again in the 2000s, and now actually going to this time period to coincide with the Mayan calendar, because of all the civilizations, myself being an archaeologist, prehistorian, specializing in ancient Egypt, but my second interest after Egypt was always the Mayan civilization. And actually the civilization that may have preceded them, that they grew out of, the Olmec civilization, which is a very mysterious, shadowy civilization, which we believe a lot of these crystal skulls came from. This Mayan civilization and the Aztecs, too, seem to be the most of culture that's so been involved with crystal skulls. However, since this phenomena has exploded, particularly now in the last couple of years, we're now finding, cultures all around the world had an interest in crystal skulls, maybe the ancient Peruvian civilization, certainly a Tibetan civilization in the last couple of hundred years. And so this gathering is very interesting. There's going to be many, many different speakers, many different ideas, but it is in the tune that we call this actually 2012 the year of revealing, not the year of doom and gloom like so many people. As I said, I've been involved in several conferences in the last couple of years, particularly a few put on by a group called Oracle Stone Productions. And it's a 999 conference, 10-10-10, 11-11-11, and will culminate this year at a 12-12-12 conference. And many, many of these ancient skulls have come out, and coming out more and more. And what is in particular for me, which I would like people to know, I think, which is the outstanding feature of this conference, even though I say that there's so many great speakers on this program, but the fact that now that they have brought this crystal skull called Einstein, which has just come out publicly at the 10-10-10 conference, which was held in New York City, and is now out in the public, and I've become very close with the keeper Carolyn Ford and her husband Ron, and I've had the ability to actually test Einstein, work with Einstein personally, and I authenticated as a genuine ancient artifact, ancient crystal skull, one of the most powerful that we have seen come out. It is the largest ancient crystal skull that has heretofore been known. It is 33 pounds, which is tremendous.
Wow.
And it is a tremendous thing. As far as I'm concerned, it was just for me. Einstein is worth coming to this festival just alone. I mean, but yet it's going to be a tremendous amount of great speakers in many different disciplines.
Now, I know that a friend of mine, Mario, you've met with Mario, and he was the keeper of Pancho the Crystal Skull, and I did several shows.
I didn't get a chance to actually, sit down and test Pancho, which I would have liked to have done. But my experience with Pancho at the 10-10-10 conference in New York City is that Pancho was genuine, too, I believe, is an ancient crystal skull.
Absolutely, and that's what I was going to say. I was lucky enough to be with Mario in a full moon ceremony, a new moon, and also a summer solstice that we did in Central Park when I was up there visiting New York last summer. And every single person that came around that skull felt the energy. I mean, it was they're amazing. And tell the listeners, why are these skulls coming up now? Why are they so important to humanity right now?
Well, there's different theories, of course, different reasons, but it actually seems to be a culmination of what 2012 means. It is an end, but it is a beginning. I mean, as I say, I've been working with some really incredible Mayan elders at these conferences, and it will be again at this conference in 12, and actually may show up at Mount Shasta. When I did a conference 4 years ago in Mount Shasta, there is a Mayan wisdom keeper who lives in the Northern California area who had, may show up or may not. But if he's there, I sure hope he does. But I've worked with a lot of really genuine Mayan wisdom keepers in the last several years, as well as my Egypt work with a genuine Egyptian wisdom keeper. And they all say the same. It's not an end. It's a beginning. It's a phase of a consciousness. It is the end of a cycle. And many, many, as I've been studying this kind of work, in an extensive prehistory archaeology for over 45 years, many different cultures speak now that we're coming to the end of many, many cycles, different cycles. I could go on and on about the different cycles that are ending now. So that's why this is a significant year. These crystal skulls were used in different ways by many different cultures, in particular to store information, to transmit information. They were the original computers before there were computers, so they actually record information. We could go into much more detail about that maybe in the next segment, how actually crystal works to do that. But there's no doubt that they contain information that can be accessed through the human mind, and there are actually scientific theories that show that. And again, I've worked with these items through both sides of the brain. I have credentialed as an archaeologist, prehistorian, so I work it as looking at these things as artifacts, but also as working in the metaphysical fields, again, for over 45 years. And to see, experience these things. And like you said, people have very, very incredible subjective experiences. So it's sometimes hard to separate the objective scientific history of these things with the subjective experience, because crystal affects the human mind. And this is why they are coming out now, because and skulls like Einstein are what we call master crystals, which call out other skulls to come out of hiding, so to speak, because they've been, many of them have been in private collections or in vaults or in tombs hidden away from many, many years, and they seem to emerge. They seem to be at points at different times in critical history, which is now, and so that's why a lot of the Mayans believe the crystal skulls are coming out now, because of the end of the cycle, to aid humanity in a raising of consciousness, which was what they see the 2012, the whole idea meaning, is that we're supposed to go now into a much more holistic way of thinking, a much more understanding of dropping this idea of borders, of races, of what separates humanity instead of what unites humanity. And the crystal skulls have that ability to cross over cultures, to cross over languages, to cross over socioeconomic barriers, etc., etc. I've again witnessed this phenomena since 1980, when I first experienced a crystal skull, and it is an amazing thing to see. The last conference we had in LA, we had anywhere between 600 and 700 people that showed up in the 2 days at
the
conference.
Amazing.
It's just growing every year. It's amazing.
Wow. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'll definitely have you back. I know you're heading to Egypt in about a week or so, and then the WESAC conference. So when you come back, we definitely want to have you back on the show and talk more about the crystal, the energies of it, and the Mayan calendar. So with that, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we will have you back and speak to you soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Excellent. Have a good night. And with that, we're just going to jump into some cool news articles that I found in the last week, and then we're going to get Dr. Nick Begich on the line. This article is Scientists Find Extraterrestrial Genes in Human DNA. The story goes on. I'll post this up also on the website. A group of researchers working at the Human Genome Project indicate that they made an astonishing scientific discovery. They believe the so-called 97% non-coding sequences in human DNA is no less than genetic code of extraterrestrial life forms. The non-coding sequences are common to all living organisms on Earth, from molds to fish to humans. In human DNA, they constitute larger part of the total genome, says Professor Sam Chang, the group leader. Non-coding sequences, originally known as quote-unquote junk DNA, were discovered years ago, and their function remained a mystery. The overwhelming majority of human DNA is off-world in origin. The apparent extraterrestrial junk genes merely enjoy the ride with hard-working active genes passed from generation to generation. This is an amazing, amazing story. Posted it up on the Twitter feed and also Starcy Andreas, so check that out. And as Stephen Miller is talking about the Crystal Skull Einstein, this other article is titled Einstein's Theory is Proved, and it's bad news if you own a penthouse. Scientists use atomic clocks to show that time moves faster as altitude goes up, even on Earth. The world's most accurate clock has neatly shown how right Albert Einstein was 100 years ago when he proposed that time is relative concept and that higher you live above sea level, the faster you should age. Einstein's theory of relativity states that time and space are not as constant as everyday life would suggest. He suggested that the only true constant, the speed of light, meant that time can run faster or slower depending on how high you are and how fast you are traveling. So amazing. A shout out to Albert Einstein. I know he is not with us anymore, but again, something else that he talked about a while back, and it's an amazing, amazing article, and I'll also post that up also on the Starseed Energy Radio website. And one more article before we cut the break real quick is this article is Working Quantum Computer Built Inside a Diamond. This is a laboratory out in California, I believe it was. It was on the tgdaily.com that they actually created a working quantum computer inside a diamond. I read the article twice and still don't understand how it works, but it's an amazing, amazing article and just showing you how technically advanced we're getting. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, listen to some more of Sir Ivan's music, and when we come back, we are going to have Dr. Nick Begich from EarthPulse.com. This song is called For What It's Worth by Sir Ivan. We'll be right back.
States
justifying a UN or US
and
first
raises
strike.
The terror alert level to orange.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with the gun over there telling me I got to beware. It's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Everybody look what's going down. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. It's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome back. That was For What It's Worth by Sir Ivan. And now joining us on the show is Dr. Nick Begich from EarthPulse.com. And just a brief bio on Dr. Nick Begich. He is the eldest son of the late United States Congressman from Alaska, Nick Begich Sr., and political activist. Dr. Nick Begich was twice elected president of both the Alaska Federation of Teachers and the Anchorage Council of Education. He co-authored with Gene Manning the book Angels Don't Play This Harp, Advances in Tesla Technology. Begich has also authored Earth Rising, The Revolution Toward a Thousand Years of Peace, and his latest book, Earth Rising 2, The Betrayal of Science, Society, and the Soul, both with the late James Roderick. His latest work is Controlling the Human Mind, the Technologies of Political Control or Tools for Peak Performance. Begich has published articles in science, politics, and education, and is a well-known lecturer, having presented throughout the United States and in 19 countries, and he just finished up some new programming on TV for the History and Discovery Channel. And with that, Dr. Nick Begich, thank you for coming on Starseed Energy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that I want to jump into and something that we cover in the show a lot is HARP, and you've done extensive research on it. HARP is a really amazing program, but not being used for the correct ways, of course. The type of technology could perform a variety of different things, the HARP. So if you can, just explain to listeners exactly how it was developed, when it started, and what are some of the means and reasons that the governments are using it today.
Well, HARP started as a Air Force and Navy project and later became a DARPA-operated project, which has primarily classified research for the various branches of the military. But it's a radio frequency transmitter. It's composed of 180 antennas that are about 72 feet tall, and they're in an array or a grid. And these are used to focus or concentrate radio frequency energy into a relatively small area for a number of weapons applications. And so this goes back, you know, quite a few years in terms of its early development. The things that it's known for is studying and affecting the ionosphere layer above the Earth's surface. Begins about 30 miles up and extends several hundred miles out. And by modifying that particular field or that area, you can do some things that are pretty dramatic. In fact, right now today, a lot of people have been worrying about solar flare activity as an example. And, you know, solar flares, when they occur, disrupt the ionosphere in such a way as to affect communications all over the planet, even affect situations of terrestrial communication and power grids. But if we could ever figure out how to sort of control or manipulate the ionosphere, we could perhaps stabilize it during these periods. And that was one of the early considerations for HARP when it first started out. Others involve a little more exotic military applications.
Now, I know that the U.S. government and other governments are also involved in this. That's China and Russia, and
right.
It's also used for scalar technology, for scalar weaponry, and from what I understand, it is Russia is leading us in the actual scalar technology. Is that correct?
Well, a lot of people think so. You know, the idea of being able to use this system for triggering releases of energy or energy exchanges that are pretty unusual for weapons applications is what, you know, what this project, you know, is about. And it's kind of a shift in the way weapon systems have gone, you know, from bullets and bombs and the things that rip and tear tissue to things that affect, the very technologies that we rely on. For instance, you know, talking about solar activity and what it can do, you know, when it happens, this device can also create an artificial event that would create similar situation where you could knock out, perhaps knock out power or affect communications over large areas. In such a way that would be pretty, you know, disruptive to modern technology, and yet you wouldn't destroy anything necessarily, but you certainly would shut a whole lot down. And when you look at HARP, one of the other areas that comes up is the idea of using it for weather modification, for shifting and affecting what are considered gravity waves within the Earth. One of the last things the inventor of HARP determined was that you could actually manipulate gravity waves and perhaps even the roots of weather systems in such a way as to modify weather over, you know, huge geographic areas. Another application of HARP that has always been known, but what's been learned in the last few years of the inventor's life was the idea that you could do it with 1,600 times less energy than he originally thought was needed. And that's a pretty big shift in terms of, you know, when you start to think about, you know, what it takes to do these kinds of things.
And talking about the chemtrails, which is something we talk about a lot, which a lot of people associate with the HARP program, a recent documentary that came out by a lady who worked for the Department of Agriculture out in California, I'm sure you may have seen the documentary, I can't think of her name now, but she talks about how all the different states in the U.S. buy into this chemtrail program to manipulate weather, to add rain, to take away rain, stuff like that, and that destabilizes the states surrounding it. The chemtrail program, how does that play a part into HARP, from what you understand?
Well, I'm not so familiar with that project, and you know a lot of other people are following it. What I can tell you, just the normal contrails from jet aircraft, which when you look at jet traffic over the last 20, 30 years and the volume and the increase in volume of jet traffic as the world sort of more and more relies on jet traffic than ships, it seems like, for a lot of our cargo. When you look at that, it actually contributes to cumulus cloud formation and downstream effects in terms of storm severity and intensity. When you look at the heat shadow from cities and what that does to weather systems, and that, of course, has increased with the industrialization of huge portions of the planet differently, and all these things contribute. But when you add in man factor, sort of what man can do now on top of that, you get a lot of disturbances. So whatever the method is of modifying weather, the big point is that you can't do it in isolation. You affect systems outside of the area you might be improving, by bringing rain or slowing rain or whatever you're trying to do. But the downstream effects of this are right now not predictable. You can't model them, and they can be extremely severe. And so you solve one problem, maybe you create 10 more. And I think this is where the risk of weather modification comes in. In fact, Dr. Eastland, in one of the last conferences he attended, which was sponsored by the Lay Institute when I was their executive director, he made clear that the weather modification, you know, issue in that whole area of HARP research was something that, if it was going to go forward at all, it needed to be done in the open light of day and, you know, with a whole lot of more scrutiny than just military experts looking at the potential military advantage of doing this, because, you know, the risks to all of us are, you know, pretty severe, and he understood that.
Yeah, and you have a section on that on your website, which is biohazards of extremely low frequencies. What are some of the effects? I mean, you're talking about heating up the ionosphere. I mean, this stuff obviously has an effect on humans. What have you found in your research that are some or could be some of the effects from this HARP program to us?
Well, there's an interesting a couple things. Firstly, one of the operations that they've developed with this is earth-penetrating tomography, which creates extremely low frequency signal that comes back to the Earth and see. And this ELF, extremely low frequency signal, happens to be in the same range as those that are biologically active in terms of the human being. And what we know about these particular ranges, these are ranges that affect human mental processes. In fact, what's called a frequency following response, or an FFR, is where the brain locks on to external signals in certain ranges and begins to mirror them or follow them. And as a result, the brain state changes, the overall state changes, and that changes the overall emotional state of the individual. And one of the things that we're concerned about and have been from the beginning is either as a deliberate effect or a side effect, and this is a significant side effect, it's something that, you know, people need to be, you know, mindful of and concerned about. The other area, as we look into the research, is this area of research has been one that a great deal has been done. In fact, all of our work on HARP, I think we had over 350 footnotes in the book on HARP in terms of source material. And Controlling the Human Mind, which is the latest publication, gets into this topic a lot more. And the fact is there's a huge body of information showing this frequency following response from radio frequency energy, the stuff of HARP or RF. You can do it with computer systems, power grids, a variety of things. In fact, there's a great article called The Mind Has No Firewalls that was published in the U.S. Army War College Quarterly Perimeters back in, I think it was the winter of 98, but you can find the article, The Mind Has No Firewalls, and it's pretty amazing, you know, what's possible today with this type of technology. And HARP just happens to be one of the biggest potential delivery systems of that effect, again, either deliberately or as a side effect.
And you also post updates on HARP on your website, earthpulse.com, and you have a lot of research information, other stuff on there. And one of the other things that I noticed on there was waking up the military. Can you go into a little bit about what that was about on your website?
Yeah, you know, we put together quite a bit of research on military technologies generally, and the direction in which it's headed, which is referred to as a revolution of military affairs, something so fundamentally different from what we've had in the past. They equate it to the discovery and introduction of gunpowder into the Middle Ages in Europe, or the introduction of atomic weapons in the last century. You know, these kinds of revolutionary changes in the way wars are fought or contemplated. The same thing is happening today, and a lot of it has to do with the things that we've covered, you know, a little bit tonight. But more importantly, when you look at the broader spectrum of the technologies, you look at privacy-related technologies overlaid on the surveillance components of that, and just the way in which communications take place and data is stored, and how information is compiled, and how useful information has become in this century. And something we write about in Earth Rising, Earth Rising 2, sort of the encroachment of military, industrial, and now academic complexes, cooperation, and really the undermining of liberties on a whole lot of fronts. So whether people are conservative or liberal, these are increasingly significant issues for all of us, and issues that we've been talking about for a very long time. HARP or systems like HARP are examples of it, symptoms of it, if you will, but the underlying problem is much, much deeper than that.
And you also go into stuff in your website like the photon torpedoes and the Star Wars programs and all these other military programs that I'm sure Tesla and others didn't intend their technology to be used for. And you have tons of information on that. But to go into a little bit real quickly on the Star Wars program, because you have a section, Star Wars, Star Trek, and Killing Politely. Can you tell the listeners a little bit of exactly what the Star Wars program was developed for and how it's being used, or how it was meant
to
be used?
Well, initially this goes back to Reagan, and they were talking about a space-based war platform, because then you essentially have control of the battle environment. If you could develop high-powered weapon systems that can be deployed quickly and readily from space platforms, you get anywhere in the world almost instantly. And what they were contemplating was plasma weapons that basically worked on energy that might even be tapped directly from the ionosphere. You know, if you remember back years ago, the tether experiment that took place with one of the space shuttles almost blew the space shuttle up. They had a dangling cable being drugged through the ionosphere, and it picked up so much current as it moved through that highly charged area that it almost blew the shuttle up. Well, that's a source of power if you think about it from that perspective. And if you manage that power and redirect it, you end up with a pretty unusual space platform. One of the other things that happens with HARP is you can focus, by focusing radio frequency energy, you can literally transfer it to these low orbiting space platforms and energize them at huge levels without having to carry into space fuel payloads. So now you have the possibility of sort of recharging, reloading by available energy there, or augmenting it with energy transmitted from the Earth to the point where you could actually create pretty destructive platforms from which you could deploy speed of light weapons. When you think of speed of light weapons, like lasers, high-powered lasers, they travel at 186,300 miles per second, which is like going around the Earth, seven or eight times, almost eight times. So pretty amazing when you start to think about, what can be done and sort of where the direction of warfare heads. At the same time, just technologies that knock out electronics or affect communication systems, the things that are really the currency of modern society and the modern culture. But we have a lot on earthpulse.com. There's hundreds of pages of articles and materials that are available there on all these topics.
And the reason I brought that up is because I've also seen documentaries and stuff on how we could actually get free energy extracted from the ionosphere, because there's an abundance, right, just like you said, of power. And Tesla, right, and others, you know, had built similar machines and stuff like that that can actually harness this energy right out of the ionosphere, clean, you know, energy. And you know, I hope that one day more of that technology comes out, but that's obviously something that the militaries and corporations don't want out. But that's also something that could be used, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the potential's there. You know, essentially, energy driven by the interaction of the Earth, its magnetic fields, and the and solar radiation, and incoming radiations from space provide a platform, an opportunity to create a tremendous source of energy. And I think this is the energy that others have talked about, and at least in one form. I'm sure there's other discussion about lots of exotic energy sources, but certainly this is one of those very things that people pointed to in the beginning. You know, is there a way to shunt that energy, to pull that energy off the ionosphere? Who knows? But the point is, this kind of science, big science, doesn't belong in the hidden chambers of military, where mistakes can be made and considerations are maybe a little different balances of decision making takes place. These are big systems, and it's just why we published what we have in the past, is to bring it to light. Let us have a public discussion and think about a more prudent way to sort of navigate the 21st century and the technologies that it presents for us.
Absolutely. And real quickly, I also wanted to go on a subject that's pretty big and you do a lot of work into, and it's on your site. And I know you work with Dr. Richard Allen Miller a lot with it, and he's on the show regularly now. And I love Rick. He's an amazing character. I love having him on. And a little bit about the mind control and where you are with, you know, the Ultimate Brave New World, one of the papers you put together on that, and explain to the listeners exactly how the military and what that's about, or how they're using mind control.
Well, again, the possibilities that have been evolved over several decades, and it's the book Controlling the Human Mind is, again, 250, in this case, 250 plus sources of material. It goes from the Congressional Record to a number of documents that sort of describe sort of the evolution of this going back, you know, back really almost a century ago, and then coming forward. It's been a long pursuit. In fact, the Navy's latest protocol on human experimentation that was approved in 2006 still provides for mind control, using those words within their protocol. Mind control experiments requires a deputy secretary to approve it of the Navy. But, you know, those things go on, and all the branches of the military participate in these programs, as well as other government agencies, looking for opportunities to override, essentially, the ultimate override of the human operator in warfare. If you could, you know, think about it from the military perspective, the idea of overriding the operating system of a computer is one thing, but affecting the operator in a way that he just can't operate the equipment, but leaving everything intact. And this is what's termed controlled effects. Actually, the Air Force in June 2002, they published a article in Technology Horizons produced by the electromagnetic director of the Air Force on controlled effects. And they were talking about it in three areas, controlling the human operator from the standpoint of affecting all five senses of touch, taste, smell, sight, sound, in such a way as to completely create hallucinogenic experiences, or experiences that were so real you couldn't discern them from the artificial, all the way down to controlled effects affecting hardware and equipment. But this range and this direction is, in fact, the direction of our militaries, because ultimately that's what warfare is about, is controlling the human operator. And so there's quite a bit been spent. A lot more is being spent, even on a couple of DARPA contracts led to the University of California in the last couple of years on electronic telepathy, being able to look at the brain, determine what a person is actually thinking, and then be able to take a complex set of thoughts and then transfer them literally to someone else. That type of resolution, wow, of both monitoring a situation in terms of energy exchanges within the brain and then moving them to another person's consciousness, and then building a catalog and a way to communicate, not just for our own troops, for speed of communication, but perhaps disrupting the ability of our adversaries to communicate in a reasonable way. So these are the things that are, you know, actually under development, being developed today by our military.
Wow, and Pulse.com, and you have plenty of documentation to back all this stuff up, as well as a ton of other information on various subjects as well. And with that, Dr. Nick Begich, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we hope to have you back soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I hope people enjoy EarthPulse.com, lots there, and we appreciate the support. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. You have a great weekend. Thank you. And
thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and play another one of Sir Ivic's track. This one is called Live for Today, DJs from Mars Radio Mix. We'll be right back with a wrap-up.
When I think of all the worries people seem to find, no longer in a hurry to complicate their minds, by chasing after money and dreams that they come true. I'm glad that we are different, we've been the things to do. We are this kind of future, I'm busy loving you.
Welcome back. I love that track. Thank you, Sir Ivan, again for coming on the show. And Dr. Nick Begich, amazing interview. And with that, joining us next week, we have Dr. Rocco Errico, who's an ordained minister, international lecturer and author, a spiritual counselor, and one of the nation's leading biblical scholars working from the original Aramaic text. Check that out. It's also, his information is up on the website, Starseed Energy Radio. And also on the same show, we have Jonathan Zapp. Jonathan is a photographer, author, teacher, and paranormal researcher and philosopher. Check out zaporacle.com. On April 20th, we have Anthony Beckett from the UK coming on. He's an analytical chemist, pharmaceutical scientist, and also an exopolitical activist. Check out anthonybeckett.com. And on May 4th, we have David Griffin also joining us from the UK, promoting exopolitics and UFO disclosure in Great Britain. Check out exopolitical.gb for Great Britain.com. And on May 11th, we have Mary Rodwell joining us from Australia. You can check out her website is acern.com.au. ACERN is Australia's Close Encounter Resource Network. ACERN is a resource and support network for all those with close encounter experiences. I just spoke with Mary last night on Skype. She is an amazing, amazing person. I can't wait to have her on the show. And also, very soon, hopefully this month, we have Nisha Duncan from New Zealand, who will be joining us, who is an Avatar Master. The Avatar program is an amazing program, which is all over the world in over 100 countries or 90 countries, and that we're going to have her on also within the next month. We have some amazing guests coming on. It's 2012. Things are happening. We had a ton of information on the show tonight. And again, always check this stuff out for yourself. Look it up on YouTube. Google it. Search it out. Learn these truths for yourself. Just don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone's word for it. You got to learn these truths for yourself. And again, always check out starseedenergyradio.com for the latest news and updates. And also you can follow me on Twitter. I now have iTunes free podcast you can download. And please leave some comments, like us on Facebook. It helps us with our rankings and get the show bigger. You could also check out my YouTube channel. Just search Jonah Bolt. And we now have the Android app almost up. And we have the Android app is up. You can check out Amazon.com for the Android app. And the iTunes app is just around the corner. So be sure to send out a tweet or a Facebook or something like that and to support the show, Starseed Energy Radio. And with that, Star Fan, the time is now. One by one is how we awaken. Spread truth, spread light, spread love. The Great Awakening is here. And with that, I'm going to end on a Sir Ivan track called Kumbaya. I will see you all next week. Enjoy. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Yeah.